Welcome to the podcast. To my right, A.P. Keaton himself. There he is.
Hello, everybody.
Across me, Garrett Walls.
Hello, hello, hello.
Blue Man Group himself.
Okay.
Wearing a blue shirt.
We don't do nicknames anymore.
No, not for you. You got a blue shirt on.
So. Okay.
A.P. Keaton.
Well, you can't say his nickname then.
What's yours? Gary with two R's.
G-A-R-R-Y. And I am Marvin's Wednesday Comics Podcast. We tell you the comic books coming out for this week. Also review the comic books that came out from last week. And then at the end, I have a little question for these guys as a tribute to one of our books we're reviewing this week. The question. I got a question for you. First, we're going to tell you the books coming out the day before Thanksgiving, the day before you eat that jerky, before you eat that cranberry, before you eat those potatoes, that corn, that stuffing.
Pumpkin pie.
That pumpkin pie, the, what else do you have? Chicklets. What are those things called that you like eating? Turkey hearts? Do you eat turkey hearts on Thanksgiving?
I love turkey hearts.
Oh, fuck.
No. Is that old fuck like you like it or old fuck you don't like
it? No, I don't like it. Oh, my God. This guy over here is eating turkey hearts. What do you think you get the power of the turkey inside you?
I'd be stupid.
Well, speaking of power, Image Comics, here we go. Ascender number 7. This is Jeff Lemire, Dustin Nguyen, The Dead Sea Part 2, as Captain Telsa struggles in the jaws of a massive werewolf. The secret of what happened to her during the second Descender attack is finally revealed. What do you think here, Alex?
Scariest cover I've seen in a long time.
It's like Jaws.
It's a big eye. It's just a giant eye of like this werewolf, and it just looks scary. I don't remember what the phobia is called when you're afraid of the big blue water, but that's what I got right now. It's like depth just looking at this cover. I'm excited. Actually, I had forgotten all about this cover, which in itself makes me excited for this book because I know there's going to be a page where I turn and I just go, holy shit, and get goosebumps while I'm reading. I got that with Aquaman like 52 when there's a big shark. This is fucking scary.
Criminal number 10, speaking of scary, Edward Wicker, Sean Phillips, and Jacob Phillips, the criminal epic moves forward towards its brutal climax as printed detective Dan Faraday re-enters the scene while Teague prepares for the biggest heist of his career. And as always, Criminal contains back page art and articles only found in the single issues. Garrett, what do we think of the Criminal?
I'm super excited. I thought last issue, I'm not seeing the detective, was a little strange just because he's so, like, everything's connecting for him to be put on the scene, but I guess that'll be this issue because what's the lady's name?
Jane. I want to say it's Jane.
Yeah, she offended the bartender, and then that bartender called her in. So things are definitely getting, it's becoming more intense, and we're going to find out soon how Teague Lawless bit it.
Spoilers. People don't know that.
It's in volume 1. He dies.
Well,
sorry,
what if somebody just started?
He's dead.
Well, East. I'm pretty sure they talk about it in the letters column.
East of West, number 44, Jonathan Hickman, Nick Dragata, Conquest. Alex, if you like me, I put this thing on a hold until it's done. What are you doing with this thing? You reading it soon?
I think I got caught up to 42. 43 then took forever to come out. 44, same problem. That's like, you know what? I think I'm on that boat of just, I might as well wait. Once I know that at issue 50 or 48 or whatever they choose, this book is done, I can binge read it and be like, yeah, that was a good story. But as of right now, I can't say that. It's been cool. It came out.
Caledelphia, number 1, Rodney Barnes, Jason Sean Alexander, series premiere, Sins of the Father, part 1, featuring the show-stopping talents of Spawn series artist Jason Sean Alexander. And the writer behind such hit shows as Wu-Tang and American Saga, Marvel's Runaways, and Star's American Gods, Rodney Barnes, when a small town beat cop comes home to bury his murdered father, the Reverend Philadelphia detective James Sangster Sr., he begins to unravel a mystery that leads him down a path of horrors that will shake his belief to their core. The city that was once a symbol of liberty and freedom has fallen prey to corruption, poverty, unemployment, brutality, and vampires. Welcome to Caledelphia. There you go. New one from Image.
I can't stand Lazarus. Jason Sean Alexander's art.
Lazarus Risen, number 3. Greg Rucka, Michael Lark. End of the story. Arc. Garrett, what do you think?
End of the arc. Jeez. Wow. I've liked it. I think issue 2 was really strong. We got more insight between Forever and Forever 0.10. whatever her nickname, Eve, I think is what they call her, right? Yeah, I don't know who they call her.
Because I thought Eve was Forever.
Well, who's the young one?
Not Forever.
Okay, Evie. Kiddo. I got nothing. Kiddo. But last issue was good, and things are definitely escalating, and I guess this is the end of the arc, which makes sense. I'm excited to read it.
How long does it... So, just got a question. If the arc is done, is that mean it's still 3 months away until we get the next one?
Yep.
Okay. So, it won't be like we're going to miss another year of book.
This, like, those three issues will be like one trade, I would believe.
Okay.
Postal delivers number 5, Brian Hill, Matt Hawkins, Raphael Lenko, new story arc. Garrett, what about the Postal?
Love Postal. I'm kind of shocked that they ended the series and then rebooted in this because it's the same creative team and it hasn't skipped a beat. I mean, I guess a year has gone by. But it's as graphic and psychologically challenging as ever. So it's very intense.
Is Brian Hill writing it, correct? Yep. I'm guessing that they had to take the year off so that Brian Hill could write other stuff to make money to keep making this book. Book isn't good.
Right.
Just saying that maybe they didn't have the following that other books would have.
Right.
Well, I don't see anything in the other two. So DC Comics, here we come. Action Comics, 1017. Brian McManus, John Romita, Klaus Janson, Invisible War Part 1. It's one of the biggest creative reunions in years as writer Brian Michael Bendis and artist John Romita Jr. joined forces for the first time since their blockbuster turn on Avengers versus X-Men. In this issue, it's all out war on the streets of Metropolis, and at the end of this epic, there'll be a huge change to the status quo of the world of Superman. You do not want to miss this, Garrett.
I'm excited because the last arc was about Naomi, and I wasn't really interested in that character. It just seemed like a very... It felt like more like it should belong in her comic book.
Naomi. Bendis' character.
Right. Not a fan of that character kind of coming into the Superman story and not really doing anything with the Superman story. So I'm excited for this new arc. I don't know. I feel like I'm not excited to see John Romita Jr. art after reading Superman Year One, but that's not fair to him. But
at least you can see him draw Superman again.
He
might be a little feeling different. Nostalgic for that. Right, it's only been a month.
Yeah, I don't know.
By the way, you said something earlier, and I was going to say something, but I forgot what I was going to say. Batman: Creature of the Night 4 for the finale. Kurt Busiek, John Paul Leon, Bruce Wainwright is not the man he believed himself to be. He never was. But when you unleash horror onto the world, what can you do about it? Is Bruce human after all? Or has he become more than a man? It's the unmissable finale of one of the best reviewed miniseries of the year. Well, above 2 years ago. sure to go down as a modern Batman classic. Alex, what do you think?
I don't know if there's really much to think about it because I can't remember issue 3. I remember really enjoying the series so far. It's unfortunate that we had to take a step away from it for about a year, year and a half. But I am also fairly... anticipating this should be decent.
Yeah. I mean, if we compare it to Secret Identity with Superman, and that was amazing. This, I'm like, I don't...
I think the thing is, like, I want to put on the list for a later show, but I also feel like I need to go back and read 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, you got
to
read all
and to do again. It on a holiday week like this coming week will be, not going to happen.
I remember that first book taking, like...
50 minutes.
Yeah. Not, almost an hour, though.
Probably about an hour, almost.
Detective Comics 1016, Peter J. Tomasi, Jaime Mendoza, Doug Mankey, The Mania of Mrs. Freeze. Garrett, what do we think of the detective?
Mrs. Freeze is running rampant by herself, so Victor wants her back, Batman wants to detain her, and she's kind of just doing whatever she wants, so it'll be an interesting issue. I hope this part of the storyline doesn't take too long where they're just like trying to hunt her down. Because I feel like there's more depth to this character than just, well, I'm free, but I'm also a freeze person now, so.
What about Flash, number 83, Joshua Williamson and Scott Collins? Rogue Reign continues.
I'm a couple issues behind, but I did start, I don't know what part of this arc it is, but I know the Rogues have been involved a lot lately, and the first couple issues I read of that are pretty cool, because it's cool to see Captain Cold and Heatwave working together again.
Hellblazer, John Constantine, number one. This is Cypher, Aaron Campbell, John Paul Leon on the cover. John Constantine is back in London, back to his old tricks, and just in time as things become very dark indeed in his old stomping grounds. A small-time gang lord has found himself dealing with a big-time outbreak of supernatural weirdness without any allies to call on and nothing left on to call his own. John doesn't have much choice after taking a paycheck from one of London's worst and accepting the help of one of the gang lord's would-be foot soldiers. But what would be an open and shut exorcism turns out to be nothing but, and the author of this madness may just be getting started on their terrible masterpiece. So there we go, a little Sandman universe, Constantine. Martian Manhunter, 10 of 12, C. Rolando and Riley Rosmo. Alex, what do you think of the Manhunter?
You know, this excuse me. This is actually one of those books that I think is kind of a surprise for me. Multiple times as I said before, Steve Orlando, not my number one pick, but Riley Rosmo art, no matter what book he is on, is always fantastic. The book looks great. It's actually an interesting story for the fact I'm not a big Martian Manhunter fan. For me, it's filling in lore. It's telling me stuff I don't know. And when you are only doing the detective stuff, I am so drawn in by that. Like, that in its own is worth reading this book.
Red Hood Outlaw, number 40. That is Scott Lodell, David Mbacina, and Kenneth Marion on the cover. I see her here on the cover. We got a little Red Hood, but he doesn't look like he likes these guys anymore. Bizarro and who's the other girl?
Artemis.
What happened to your gear?
I'm a couple issues behind on this one, too.
Bro, they're fucking killing each other.
Well, that's not good.
that's not good.
I guess I didn't even know they were kind of back to meeting again.
I didn't know that.
I saw that Jason was with the people that he was running the casino with.
He's teaching the school kids.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And so I think the last one you read was the first time the kids and him are out on an adventure or they're meeting the first time.
And they all sucked.
essentially, yeah. I'm actually kind of interested to see if they actually meet up this issue or if that cover's a lie. Because I know that Bizarro and Artemis are now back in our timeline or in the current realm. But I can't imagine they're already meeting up. And no way would...
Maybe it's the cliffhanger.
Maybe. Or my guess is it's meant to be like, hey, let's sell books. Where all it's going to be is if they actually do meet up, Red Hood's going to be like, fuck you, kids. These are my real friends.
Right. Go kill yourselves.
Go kill yourselves. Or let me do it for you. So, I don't know. I'm excited for this. This is a great book, knowing that Artemis and Bizarro are going to be back.
Yep. Shazam, number 8. That is Jeff John Thal Eaglesham. What do we think, Alex?
Good. Love is too strong of a word for
looks
this.
Looks like a Halloween issue. So maybe like
I mean, it's really delayed.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think this is issue 8, right?
Yep.
I saw issue 9 is not coming out until January or February. Yeah. Something like that.
Which is fine. It's one of those books that I don't mind it taking its sweet ass time. Getting good art is hard to come by sometimes. I think my anticipation for Jeff Johns is this book is so spectacular. And I actually don't know. Another book, I don't know much about this character that I'm so excited to learn new things. I haven't even seen the movie, and that's almost a year old. Yeah. So this is filling that void until I see that movie.
Here we go. Marvel Comics. The Black Panther number 18, The Truth Behind T'Challa's Fall from King to Slave, Tennessee Coates and Chris Sprouse. The Intergalactic Empire of Wakanda, 2000 Seasons, Part 6. What do you think here, Alex?
I dropped it, so I don't
know. Oh, you're not getting any more? Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's got to be close to the end.
No way.
I don't think so.
You think it would have ended by now?
I think.
I mean, the arc.
Oh,
I don't know. We're on season 6 of 2000s. We could still have a long ways to go. This book is fine. I'm going to say fine, and it's not meant to be mean, but it really drags out. Mm. And it looks so good and so inviting, and the colors are, depending on who's doing the art, is it Acuna, did it say? Something in someone else?
Chris Sprouse.
Oh. I don't remember if I know Sprouse's art. This is one of those books. I probably could take it or leave it, but I think deep down inside, I still want to get a Black Panther book because he's not in anything else that I get. Yeah. Are you still getting Avengers or did you drop
Avengers? I'm getting Avengers.
Oh, at least he's in that book for you. So you'll still get some feeding of it. Sorry, I keep kicking the leg.
I'll get actual Black Panther.
Hey, this is pretty close.
Fallen Angels, number two. This is Brian Edward Hill and Simon Kerensky. The Dawn Does Not Break for All. I know you guys haven't read this book yet. I have, you know, a little ahead of time. I love that cover. Ashley Witter on the cover there.
I'd pull up my phone to look, but I'm not going to.
Psylocke finds herself in a new world of mutant kind, unsure of her place in it, but when a face from her past returns only to be killed, she seeks help from others who feel similar to get vengeance.
Hey, as my friend thought.
Cable and X-23 join Kiwana for a personal mission that could jeopardize all of mutant kind. There you go. But what about this one, guys? New Mutants number two, Dot, Jonathan Hickman, Rod Rice, the new generation claims the dawn. The classic New Mutants get together with a few new friends, Chamber and Mondo, to seek out their missing member and share the good news, a mission that takes them into space along with the Star Jammers. So we had that cliffhanger last issue. We're going to get another one here. What do you think here, Alex? Garrett? Jeez.
I don't even remember the cliffhanger. What was the cliffhanger?
They got screwed over by the Star Jammers.
Yeah. Oh.
And so they're having to fight their way through the Kree. Is it Kree? No. Yeah, it's Kree. Spintax? I don't remember. Hmm.
I'm excited. I like Rod Rice's art. So, I don't know. Issue one was kind of a... It was interesting to me. I didn't find it like 100% enjoyable because I didn't like the whole Star Jammers part of it all. But we'll see. I guess if that's more involved in this issue too, then it might not be for me.
Valkyrie, Jane Foster, number five, Jason Aaron, Al Ewing, and Kafu. Into the Eternal Darkness. I was just talking about that today. Eternal Darkness, you ever used to play that game, GamePeep?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. What do you think Garrett, about the Alex? Jesus, I'm in Alex.
Valkyrie. Oh, sorry, I was saying.
I was like, what book are we talking about now?
Al Ewing's leaving the book, so I'm out.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Who's picking him up?
Jason Aaron. It's his stuff.
Is it Jason Aaron?
No, somebody else is taking over.
Because Jason Aaron was teaming up with Al Ewing. I actually really enjoyed this book. I think it was great, but now that makes me sad to know that Al Ewing is going to...
Cut my losses early.
Yeah, I need to drop it too then if that's the case. Actually, the one thing that I've enjoyed is that he calls back to Vision.
Yeah.
In the last issue.
What's that?
Because Mephisto is actually talking to Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
And Reaper's like, I want to go back and get my revenge on those androids for killing me. Oh my gosh. A Vision tie-in?
Spoilers for Vision.
Spoilers.
That's 2 years old, baby.
Oh, I thought it was like 3 years old now.
Is it? Yeah, it is three, actually. It's... You're right. X-Force number two, that's Ben Percy, Joshua Cacera, The High Price of a New Dawn. Garrett?
Sorry, I was looking up who's doing the new Valkyrie. What was the comic?
X-Force.
I liked issue one. It basically shook up the entire X-Men series by killing, spoilers at this rate, spoilers. So if you want to skip ahead a minute, spoilers. Killing Charles Xavier, which I'm interested in how, if he's coming back, if he's not coming back. I don't know if that gets answered because I've missed out on some X-Men books lately. But yeah. I am interested because the team is really badass. And, well, I mean, I haven't really got to see them work together as a team yet. So hopefully
they haven't been a team yet. They just got ambushed. You know, the one thing, and spoilers continuing on, go another minute farther. In X3, which I realize is not necessarily canon, is that when Xavier gets obliterated by Phoenix, he moved his body over to another person, even after he was dead. So... I don't think you can kill Charles off. I think Charles could still move over to somebody else's body and just force them out.
With Valkyrie, Torun Granbeck is joining Jason Aaron as a co-writer of Valkyrie.
So Jason Aaron at least still has his foot in the door to help guide it.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. This is a fucking Rangers, baby.
That's right.
Number 45, Ryan Perrette, Daniel DeNocchio, and Walter. Bomonte and Jamal Campbell on the cover there. Alex, what do you think of the Power Rangers?
Mighty Morphin's amazing.
I gotta say that it has surpassed Go-Go as the better Power Rangers book.
I would agree.
Yeah. take it away.
No. It's been an Alex focused show this today. So
I guess. I love it. I think it's awesome in that dog. Like, he seemed like this big threat and he got taken down really easily. And then the Power Rangers stormed Zed's castle. And so the cliffhanger of that is Jason gets overwhelmed. And we're going to find out what happens now, starting in this issue, which hopefully is the Omega Rangers meeting with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And there's a bunch of ass kicking going on.
Amongst themselves, or?
Well, probably that too.
I hate you. You guys showed us up.
But I'm so glad Ryan Parrott does both books now, because it's just a fun universe to play around in.
And the only thing is, I feel like Go-Go is a redundant book right now. I know it's telling story. It's leading stuff up to this.
It's always been about the characters, not about the actual plot.
I know, but that's what made it so good when the other book was like, oh, let's expand this universe to being huge. And now that we're getting nice character focused, I realize that's part of it just being that Parrott is writing both books. He knows how to focus on it.
Well, like some people love the original five. And so
Matt is way too often in that book.
That's true. He's a little creepy now. A little creepy.
Hello, Kimberly. Will you still be my friend?
Are you tired after last night? What are you talking about, Matt? Fighting?
What the hell?
It's good.
What's the last time you guys watched the Power Rangers? The original.
The original, like, TV show?
Yes.
Probably about 3 years ago.
Yeah. I watched.
Horrible.
Oh, it's not good. I'll admit, it's not good.
Great, but it's still it's still able to watch it.
It's like a D minus on a good day.
I don't know about D minus.
I would say C.
I could say C.
I would say it's average.
I mean, when you get the content, we were clearly into it, so you got to be into it to like it.
I was also a kid. My brain wasn't developed yet. I also liked eating cheese sandwiches.
That's gross.
I'm not eating cheese sandwiches now. I'm not even talking about grilled cheese. I'm talking about putting cheese between two untoasted pieces of bread.
Makes you want to throw up.
Yeah, and you think what I did? I threw up.
And that's what his brain developed.
Also, didn't know how to drive a car. I was that dumb. And I'm like, he's Power Rangers.
Weren't you eight?
When Power Rangers came out? No, yeah. Bro. I was like 5 years old.
No.
Came out like in 92.
I guess you're right.
I was four when I first
I wasn't even born
that.
Yet.
So he's
like,
maybe
I still had five or six more years to cook for
Alex.
You guys.
What do you think's going to be your pick this week? What do you got? I got a lot of choices this week.
I don't even know.
I
think the thing is that
got a new phone, I see.
There's lots of choices, but there's
still got an Android. Didn't go iPhone.
No, I got Android again, of course. Had to go with it.
We all been in a group chat and had the blue.
I'm still in
but
the
you're the only reason why we had to stick with this Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, hey.
I have to support this Zuckerberg still because of you.
I thought you didn't have to do that anymore. You know what? But thanks for buying me some time so I could decide what I wanted to talk about. Lazarus Risen number 3 will be my pick.
Two Nerd came out, so how am I going to know what's going on?
It did come out.
One month.
I don't know.
3 months ago.
I don't know. I can't remember that far back.
What kind of phone's that? What did you get?
8S. Samsung Galaxy 8S.
You should have waited a little bit. That Razor's coming back out, foldable phone. You could have got
that. That does look cool.
I saw that. That was cool.
Could have been back in your old stomping grounds.
Yep. Flip phones.
Razor.
Mm-hmm. I never had a Razor.
Well, all right. Gary?
I would say I'll go with Sender number 7. That book has not disappointed once. By the time I read it, it seems like it goes by really quick, but I'm excited because one day we'll get back to Tim 21.
Ascender is actually, I feel like, a stronger book than Descender was.
Oh, definitely.
Because obviously we've already laid the groundwork for what
it does kind of. It does kind of pay off the nostalgia of Descender.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I loved Descender when it had first came out, but this just feels so much stronger.
Can you agree, Marvin?
I concur. What did you say? What was your pick?
Lazarus.
Oh, that's right. 3 for 3 for Image Comics. I'm going to go Criminal number 10. The last issue I really enjoyed, and it seems like we're getting to the climax of the story. Actually, I believe that said that in the synopsis. And so I'm going to enjoy it, I think.
On the synopsis.
Alex, how's the weather doing outside?
You know, the weather is not frightful. We're getting in towards Christmas time, which is not before Thanksgiving. I want everyone to know it goes orange and black for your color scheme. Then you got to hit the brown, not shit, but Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving brown.
Hitting into the black right away because you eat your turkey, then you got to go shopping, obviously. And then you get into that nice, colorful green and red and white and blue. Anyway.
I'm looking at this. Snow Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
What? Who told you that?
I saw Tuesday.
And then I heard Wednesday was going to be, okay, Thursday and Friday.
It looks like it's supposed to be partly cloudy, 31. Then Thursday we got some snow, and then Friday we got some snow, and then Saturday we got some snow.
So people come on that come on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you're fine. And then you got to leave on Sunday. Man, leave Saturday.
Well, the CIA may not be doing anything for Thanksgiving. It might just be, hey, we're ordering pizzas.
We want you to buy your turkey ahead of time.
Pizza's open. I don't do turkey. Yeah.
You just don't do turkey?
Nope. We'll do turkey.
Don't you remember this story? He doesn't do turkey.
But he eats turkey hearts?
Not anymore.
What the fuck?
They don't do turkey. They don't like order pizza.
We don't do Thanksgiving food. We just
hang out.
Just not interested in doing it. I don't like leftovers turkey.
You don't like leftover food?
No, I don't like leftover turkey.
White meat or dark meat?
I always do dark meat.
Oh, you gross me out, dude.
Really?
I don't like dark meat either.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever like, give me some of that dark meat.
I love the dark meat. Oh my God.
It's like juicy and like
that's why I like it.
Let us know at Wednesday Comics on Twitter. Tweet at us, dark meat or white meat? I'll let you know I'd go that white meat, especially the leftovers.
Yeah.
Get a little mustard in between pieces of toast.
Nope. Yeah. The white meat is always so dry.
Some lettuce, tomato.
It's so dry, but it's so tender.
That's why you have the mustard and a little mayo?
Yeah.
Nope. Still no.
A little sandwich?
See, now you guys think the dark meat sounds
horrible.
But then
you get the gravy. Put a little gravy over it, baby.
Dark meat. You have your entire 50s and 60s look forward to dark meat. You don't need to like that now.
Have you seen my hair? Old man right here.
I've seen your hair.
Yeah, why don't you just wait a couple generations?
You see my hair? Because I'm missing it.
That's why you didn't tape it under your face. You had a beard.
This comic's coming off of this week, the day before Thanksgiving. As these guys said, make sure you get those books before you head out, and then you can read them on the way. A lot of books. I mean, that's probably why. Next week is the fifth week?
Next week's the first week.
What?
No, it's just the fourth week.
Oh.
I thought you meant the week after. The next week is December.
The fifth week is when there's barely any books coming out.
I feel like everybody next week's going to be a little light.
Probably. There's a lot coming
a
out
A little
this week.
Light. They're getting ready for Christmas.
Well, everyone believes comics on a fifth week except Marvel. Then
is Christmas on a Wednesday?
Yes. Christmas Day is on a Wednesday.
Fuck, no comics that weekend.
Hopefully Tuesday.
No, I'm not going to be open.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe.
No comics.
To be fair, it depends on what's coming out that week. If it's going to be like 3 books, it's like I can wait until the next week to get it. Mm-hmm.
What do you do for Thanksgiving? You go out of town?
So this year, going to see my grandpa in a town over, and then going to come back and go to my uncle's house. So not too far. Minor travel.
Where is he? How far away is it? An hour? 2 hours.
Grandpa's a half hour away.
Half hour.
Yeah, that's not bad.
What is that? 30 miles?
Yep. Usually a minute a mile.
Alex stays home, eats a little pizza, a little pasta maybe.
Of course, Italians.
I'll make sure to put all our dark meat in a bag and throw it on your doorstep. Let it sit overnight.
We should have known, Gary, because he's turkey hearts. He likes the things that blood has been pumping through.
Oh, yeah.
Do you eat the giblets or the chicken?
The giblets?
Yeah.
He's balls. A fucking vampire.
Right in his mouth.
Would you eat Rocky Mountain oysters?
I've never had them. They don't.
Would you? Did you not hear the fucking question?
I've never had them, that doesn't sound good. Oysters don't sound good.
But you eat. It's not oysters. It's testicles.
What?
Fried testicles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like bull testicles fried.
Oh, I eat those. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was saying. You eat turkey hearts. Might as well.
Actually today my father-in-law went deer hunting. I thought, I should ask him to bring that heart back for me so I can cook that bad boy up.
I do know people that'll eat that. My uncle does pickled hearts, deer hearts. That's weird, too.
It's disgusting.
Okay, good. Unless you're great, it's still gross.
Mm-hmm.
You know the only thing I like about deer? When people, deer jerky.
Jerky's good.
I like jerky, any kind of jerky.
Chislik, though. We do chislik and jerky.
Chislik.
What? You've never?
No, I mean not deer chislik.
Okay, got it.
I like any kind of jerky. You can make anything jerky, I'll eat it. Mm.
Dog. Dark meat jerky?
Cat.
Oh, God.
Squirrel.
Jesus Christ.
By the way, there's two squirrels out here. I don't know if you guys know, two of my trees are gone.
Yeah.
The city took them because they were diseased.
I saw the one out here by the last week. It threw me off when I was little.
Did you wake up to the sound of a chainsaw going on?
No, I just came home and there's no trees.
Oh.
So it's kind of weird.
That's nice.
But,
did they give you a notice or a letter?
A year and a half ago.
Oh, saying we're about to fuck this tree over?
Yeah, and then they never came, so I just forgot about it. And then when they just came, they were a little late. But there used to be some squirrels living in those trees, and now they live in this one over here. And my wife came home to them fighting because they both lost their house, but they're both fat as fuck. So they were having a little show over there.
And they're too weak to...
I call them Hulk and Thor. They fight all the time. We had a pumpkin from Halloween on our porch, and they got into that bad boy. Came home, halfway gone.
Damn.
But they'll eat anything they want. They're like the Alex Mastrello of the wildlife. The animal kingdom. They're probably eating turkey hearts right now. Right out there. Dark meat. They're the ones grabbing dark meat.
Probably hunting as a pack to take down that turkey.
You know, they only eat. They're herbivores, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're herbivores. Except, I have heard that squirrels sometimes, if there's roadkill, as long as the dark meat's still there, they'll go out there and pick it apart.
That makes them sound nuts.
But not on Thanksgiving, though. On Thanksgiving, they order a pizza, and they come there. Okay. The comic's coming out for the 27th of Get Them Where You Get Them. I don't care. You can read some comic books this week. First on the docket, I believe, Batman number
85? 83.
83. Yeah, the book's done. Batman number 83. That is Tom King, your favorite, and Mikael Hanin. Jordy Blair on colors. What do you think about the Batman? This,
you know what? Surprisingly, I did like this issue.
Me too.
Only thing I don't understand is we obviously saw Alfred get killed in issue 77. Did they literally
leave that dead body?
Yeah, just leave that dead body there. It was like, yes. Just lock Batman in there. Like, hey, no way would he look that way. He'd be way, he would start like rigor mortis.
Well,
like,
and say, when Bruce went to pick him up, he still kind of, he flattened out on that couch. He wasn't going to flatten out on that couch.
There's no way. But anyways, that's like just scientific and accurate. But
Bruce got shot in the stomach in with two bullets.
He's still alive, boy.
No, I'm not saying he's dead. I'm saying there is no pain. That man is throwing shit, and I realize he's got a lot of adrenaline going through his veins. But they put, the weird thing is that Thomas put his clothes back on him.
Yeah, that's a little weird. That's odd.
Thomas is like, my son.
It's his son, baby.
Put your shirt back on.
And like he was clearly bleeding through those holes, too, so it's not like his suit. Nothing protected him.
Nope.
So, yeah, I don't like that either. That's odd. But so, I thought the message from Alfred to Bruce throughout the entire issue was great.
Yes. I liked it, too.
Hated what Tom King always does when he opens up an issue, where there's just this fucking random manuscript that nobody knows the meaning of, and then it's like, it ends with a one-liner.
I heard somebody on the internet talking about that today, was like, that he make quotes too many things, and he like not only just quotes them, he like steals like 7 pages of the actual thing.
Right, that's why I was like, fuck, who can analyze this? Like, you have to get like English professors in there.
When Alfred's like, let me just quote Longfellow, I actually did skip those dialogue boxes.
You did?
Because I was like,
and it was like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, and then finally when I saw he was talking again, I went back and read those.
I mean, to admit, I read the boring stuff just because I needed to make sure I read the next right part, but I don't need 8 pages of a different book that I didn't ask for.
I think
for.
A quote or like a nice part of it that makes sense, but when he uses a lot, and it's like pages of the actual thing.
I would rather the art like tell a beautiful message than like write the shit or copy the shit out of a passage to like bring a point across.
What was that issue? Was it an issue or an annual or something like that where the whole thing was like
It was an issue, I remember. It was when he was doing it was when Batman was going mad. Was it him and Professor Pig?
No.
Or Scarecrow?
It was a different
one. It was one of those.
But it was one of those.
It was the one with the story about the animals who fell into the pit. Right? And the whole thing.
Oh, no. It was him with his dad.
Okay.
It was him with his dad.
Yeah, that was the animals in the pit.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's when they're on their way to find the pit to bring Martha back.
And it's like, got that. There's no way is that an original story.
I never read that book to you. When I read that book to you,
do you think his dad ever said, you're not going to ever bring Martha back? And like, this is, if you tell, don't do this. And he's like, how do you know that name? What do you think about it? So it is, at the end, it is true. He's like, stop being Batman. Like, he's doing all this because he's wanting to be Batman. So he's willing to fucking kill his son to make him stop being Batman. Or I guess he's killing everything that he loves.
And, like, if continuity is true in every multiverse, like, Thomas Wayne and Alfred are, like, best friends. So
he killed his best friend.
Yeah, he kills his best friend. Well, at least my son won't be Batman anymore.
Well, the next issue, we are going to see the backstory on Thomas.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Hang on. We're going to wrap this book up. In 2 issues, one issue being we're going to get backstory,
and then a finale. They're going to fight,
and then a postponed 12-issue series that will come out someday.
So you know the one thing that all that's going to come out of this 85 is going to be Bruce is going to fight Thomas, arrest him, And that's one more bat-like villain, along with Batman Who Laughs. It's going to be his dad.
Hush.
All these people who are some way related to Bruce are Bruce, a dad, something.
His brother. Owlman.
Owlman.
Mm-hmm. Which hasn't been addressed at all.
He's busy doing other shit.
Talon. I also didn't like how Alfred quoted, like, he was like, oh, on that wedding day, like, you were smiling like crazy. I'm like, I'm pretty sure if you go back to that issue, he was, like, fucking terrified in issue 50. He was just like, fuck, I don't know if this is going to go well.
And he was like, I looked at you like you weren't Batman anymore. You weren't that kid anymore. You were something else. You were the adult that you were supposed to be. And I was like, wasn't he in the Batman outfit? Wasn't he in Batman?
No,
he was in coattails.
I thought they got married in their outfits. No,
they taught because the way that.
But the whole thing leading up to that was that they were going to get married.
Batman and Catwoman getting married, not Bruce and Selina. So there's my other question I was going to ask you guys.
Yeah?
Written in red is.
You're not Batman.
Is that Thomas? Or was that Alfred going. You're not Batman. You're someone else.
Yeah, he wrote it in his own blood.
No, well, the realization.
I'm pretty sure it's blood.
Yeah, it's Thomas.
That is some pretty fluorescent blood.
Yeah, wow. Alfred's already dead. He probably just squirted out of him.
Let's cut this open. Take out that heart.
He's like, this hand, I know this hand's fake. Let me cut this open. And squirt. There we go.
And like, so I like this. I like the moment between Alfred and Bruce, but I mean, to me, this has all just gone way out of hand and just doesn't seem like a Batman story anymore. Like, it feels like there's no way this can be wrapped up in two issues.
It just seems weird that this story takes 85 issues.
There's no way this guy, he dropped issue 50 and was like, oh, it was Bane the whole time. And then, like, 20 issues later, no, it was Thomas. Or, sorry, 30 issues later.
To be fair, he was in the button before Bane.
That's true. But, like, there was no indication that that button story had anything to do with the effect of Batman.
Go back and read it now. Who knows?
Wait, he was in the button before Bane? Bane showed up.
Yeah, wait, no, Bane, yeah, he showed up in the teen issues.
I mean, before the reveal that Bane was still in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Thomas said, hey, don't be Batman anymore.
But it's just kind of like with Heroes in Crisis. He's like, bet you didn't expect this. And it's like, no, I didn't expect that Wally West would become a fucking murderer and kill everyone that's his friends. No. Like, no, you're right. You got me. I didn't suspect that.
Bazinga.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm going to give this a 7. Because that's probably the best score I've given a Batman book in a while for the Tom King's Batman series, because I did enjoy most of the story from Alfred to Bruce. Hated the first couple pages, kind of hated the last couple pages too, because again, it doesn't make sense why Thomas would go to these extremes to get his son to not be Batman. But yeah, he'll bring back his wife in a Lazarus pit. Cool.
He wants them all to be together.
I don't even know if I could give this book a 7. Yes, there was heartfelt moments. Yes, there was a moment where I got kind of goosebumps. But then I also... This is like a 5. Yeah. I really couldn't give two shits about this. Alfred's been dead for 7 issues. No one else gives a flying shit in this whole town. And I think Bruce already knew that he was dead.
Yeah.
Wasn't he told in the last issue he was dead? Then obviously to see him...
No, Damian was told.
It would have made more sense to me that Bruce would have woken up still in that room with Alfred, not just as Batman, but just as Bruce, or naked even, being like, hey, this is where you make your decision. Are you going to be the Batman? This is what happens when you're Batman. You lose your family.
Do you think he actually wrote that?
What?
That letter?
I assumed it was playing over something.
I think he did, but... I think that's, again, another Tom King, like, oh, Alfred's he knows he's going to die, so he knows that he needs to write this letter that Bruce needs to read.
I'm a good actor.
So that he knows to stay Batman and to smile.
I don't know. I really want to like this.
7 works for me.
See, I say 7 because, like this is the first issue I didn't like want to bash my skull on and be like, this doesn't make any sense.
It took me about the first 5 pages to be like, oh, yeah, maybe Bruce doesn't know that Alfred's dead. Because I was already like, no, this is stupid. I don't care for this. This is not what I want.
If you
want
to feel better, just read the synopsis for issue 86 of Batman. And instantly, I'm excited for Batman again.
I had seen like even just the covers. Like, oh, that makes me excited.
He wants to fix Gotham City. And like all the things that's in the solicit, I'm like, yeah, baby. Let's go.
Captain America. Number, what did she say?
16.
Ta-Nehisi Coates, Bob Quinn. Here we go, boys and girls. This is an issue with Kingpin, first off. Kingpin and Lucan, Mrs. Lucan, by the way, have a little talk at the beginning. And he threatens her, and he's like, she's like, fuck you, I got powers.
Fuck you, I got powers.
This is another series that I thought had been lacking, but it actually improved.
I like this issue a
lot. Yeah, this issue was pretty good.
Especially with the U.S. agent character that I haven't seen for a while. him coming back and thinking that the fake Steve, Hydra Steve, was actually him, and he felt betrayed because he's supposed to be... I mean, he's not. He's good. Enough.
He's like one of his biggest fans.
Yeah, so in that way, he was mad at Steve because he thought he was bad, and thought he was actually killing cops and all stuff like that, so... That fight made sense, but also made sense why he would back down and be like, in belief, Steve being, when Steve was like, hey, that wasn't me, and let's figure out how to fix this instead of fighting. And it made sense that he was like, okay, let's do this. But then, Kingpin dead? You think that's real?
No.
I think it's real. I think nowadays in comics, like, yes, they'll come back, but a lot of deaths have been staying permanent.
I don't imagine they would kill...
But say that with Thunderbolt Ross. He got fucking wiped out in this book.
Yeah, he dug himself out of a hole. He's not dead now.
Wait, when have you seen that?
What book do we see the hole opened up in? It was Hulk. It was Hulk.
It was in Hulk?
I thought it was in Hulk that they showed the Thunderbolt Ross grave was decimated.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You haven't seen any bot? Have you seen Thunderbolt Ross walking around?
He's healing up still. His face got blown off or back got stabbed or something. The only thing is, like, it would have made. I feel like it would have been more permanent if it had happened in Daredevil.
I am also going to think it's faked only because they show she can teleport. So I'm guessing they shot that and he teleported her out, and then it looks like he died, but she has him captured or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
We're going to find him later with a gag in his mouth.
I wish that they would have made him bigger.
And then somebody's going to walk in. Hey, guys, what's going on?
Like, most of the time we see Kingpin, he just seems to be so dominant. He's fat in this one. He's not...
He's muscle, baby.
I think a part of it, like, when I saw him in Into the Spider-Verse, I mean, he's, what, 10 feet tall?
Well, his head barely... He doesn't even have a neck in that.
No, his body
and
ate his head.
All exaggerated in that cartoon.
I'm just telling you, he's huge. Don't look at Brick House.
The lizard's in that, too, right?
When? Where?
Spider-Verse?
Is Lizard? I didn't think so.
I don't remember.
Prowler is. Doc Ock. Scorpion.
Anywho's it's. Stop that.
I thought it was a simple, straightforward issue compared to like some of the ones we've had recently. And it feels like it forced the narrative, but also bringing in new elements as a U.S. agent and also Kingpin. What happens to Kingpin? But it finally gets back to this character we've seen since like issue 1 and 2. And they're finally becoming like the main antagonist of the story. And so I actually like where it's at now. I actually do like this art too, Bob Quinn. Mm-hmm. I do still miss that Olenell Francis Yu is not in this book anymore, but I'm assuming he's never going to be back because he's doing X-Men.
Yeah, true.
So I would, Bob Quinn was fine. I like Bob Quinn.
And he did like Captain America had like a pointy chin. I was like, don't fucking get your head bopped by that bad boy.
It looked okay. I wasn't as sold on it. And I did have one more complaint, of course. Mm-hmm. Scientist. I'm pretty sure Steve's jaw got broken. He took that shield edge onto his right here. Dislocated his jaw.
He's got
healing factor,
yeah,
I know.
He's good.
He's Captain America. He's gotten the shake to have before.
Yeah, it was nice. I actually enjoyed the Kingpin Alexandria Lucan story better than I actually like the Cap story going on in this issue.
I'd agree.
But I did like, because it made me think of the Winter Soldier when we saw, what's his face? Cap. Lincoln. No, the guy wearing the black Captain America suit.
U.S. Agent.
U.S. Agent.
I'm trying to fight. Where does he hit him with the fucking shield?
They're fighting in the...
You're talking about this?
Yeah.
He doesn't fucking hit him in the face. That's a shoulder. Man.
You see how much blood's coming out of his mouth?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Guy hit in the shoulder, bleeding through the mouth.
Blood's coming out of his nose.
So he took it to the nose. His nose is broken.
It was enjoyable. I'd give it an 8.
Yeah, 8's good for me.
7.
I actually, looking through his art, I do like if it's not going to be Lynell Francis Yu realistic style, and it has to be like a more cartoony kind of style, this one's fine. I like this. Look at Kingpin. He's fucking fat. Look at that face.
He's fat. I'm just saying, normally he just seems to be so much more domineering than he is.
It's huge.
But it's cool.
Look at this. This is when he goes to Popeye's and they're out of chicken sandwiches.
Jesus.
Then he pulls a Bane on Alfred, breaks his neck.
The question of the deaths of Vic Sage number one, Jeff Lemire, Dennis Cowan, and Bill Sawinskit. Chris Sotomayor. What do you guys think of the book one of the question, Deaths of
Vic Sage? It's only you and me, Marv, that read this bad boy.
Is that a 4-issue?
It's a 3-issue, I think.
Oh, it's 3-4.
It's 4.
It's 4? I loved issue 1.
So did I.
Thought it was awesome. It reminded me a lot of, not necessarily like, I guess just because of the question face, I was thinking of Rorschach a lot. But it's more like his brutality and cunning that I was really impressed with. Like, I don't know much about the question.
It makes sense because Rorschach is based on the question, so.
Yeah. And like, that was cool. I didn't know that Vic Sage was a reporter as well, or a newscaster.
Put on the mask.
Yeah.
He's off the mask, and he does a story. Basically, he makes the stories, and then he reports on them. So
that is cool.
He's got a lot of questions.
When does Montoya take over for him?
He's got a lot of questions.
They're both the questions.
In 52. Are they really? Well, in this, yeah, they're going to be. In 52, if you want to know. DC continuity.
Oh, really? Okay.
I really liked it a lot. The art style, I think it fits the story. It's nice, like, noirish. A lot of...
it's like street level.
Yeah, it's not really, like, clean lines. It's a lot of scribbly kind of drawing. Very hashy. And the colors also are more muted. They're really that... They'll pop that much. Except for his suit kind of pops a little bit. It's a little blue pop. But the overall story with Vic investigating corruption, but also... there's some real world politics going on in that also. I do like the how everything's going to hell in this city on both sides. And he's involved. He's in the middle of it while he's trying to fix or trying to solve the corruption in politics. So it was 50 pages, I believe.
Yep.
I really liked them. Like,
I'm very fond that there was no DC villains in there. Like, I think that it reminded me a lot like Batman Year One. That it was just there's a lot of crime behind closed doors going on. It's just this really dark city that's like there's just a lot of sketchy deals going on, and that's what I enjoyed a lot.
And I mean, your comparisons to Rorschach aren't unwarranted because originally Watchmen was going to be a book about these characters, the Charleston characters, and then. Alan Moore decided to make him into different characters so he could do more with him than that. So he was supposed to be the Quashton and Blue Beetle and those people. So that's why you have, instead you have Rorschach and you have Owlman and stuff like that. So, there's a lot in here that when you read this, yes, it does seem like that character, but, like you said, he's also, different in his own way. So, and also it is very brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it opens with him, shutting down a brothel with underage girls. I mean, and there's like 4 F words within the first like 5 pages.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the first in a Black Label book. Because I don't remember the Batman Dam didn't have an F word. It just had like something else.
Battling?
I don't remember there being an F word yet. In the ones I've read, at least. So.
Well, no, isn't there? I thought there are F bombs in White Knight.
Is there?
I don't remember.
I don't remember any.
I know shit's in there.
Yeah, and I think bitch is in there, an asshole, but I don't see any fucks.
Maybe fuck isn't.
Was there any in Year One? Superman? They say fuck you all. I mean, it wouldn't put it past them.
I mean, he bleeped out something with mermaids, but that's about it. I give this book a 10.
Oh, there was an F word in that book. He came back up and he told his reporting officer, he said, I just fucked a mermaid.
Oh, shit.
I give it a 9.
You get a 9? Yeah. I give it a 10, and like I loved it. I think like this is a character that like it was just fresh to see an original story, and like I've kind of been getting annoyed lately when there's like a new book or something, and right away they go into like kind of thing that rubbed me the wrong way with like Jane Foster, where she runs into Bullseye right away. Yeah. I'm just like, there's no other villains that can be original in this story. So this was refreshing because it wasn't just like also, at the end, it wasn't just some random also, Gotham City villain.
I did like Jeff Lemire's choice of starting the story and just having a story with the question. Like, there's nothing to like ease you into knowing the question or knowing any of his supporting characters. You just like are thrown into a story. So like, there's a lot of stuff where you're like, feels like I'm missing something, but yeah, you're missing the question and all his story. They just starts. There's no origin or anything like that, which is okay. It's four issues, so you gotta.
I think there's bits and pieces that you can follow along about who he is.
It feels like he's having flashbacks of his past that he doesn't know about. So it feels like there's gonna be a little bit of that in that when he figures that out. But at least in the first issue, it does feel like a very cold open and be like, let's just go. So liked it. Mm-hmm. Hey, did it come in that prestige format?
It did.
The only thing I don't like about that is that in digital, it actually shrinks it.
Screen?
They got to figure out how to put this on digital. What book did you guys read?
Farmhand number 11.
Oh, yeah.
Written and drawn by Rob Guillory.
I was like, what did we read?
What a fucking way to come back.
Yeah.
This book. So that's why I don't have like a pick for this week, because it's tied between question and this. So this issue, basically, we're kind of getting a little history of Jedediah first creating the seed that can grow organs and tissue and things like that. And he's working with the Thorn. Mayor at the time. So you could tell they were really good friends. Everybody else is creeped the fuck out. They're like even one, the priest guy who we
tree.
See.
Yeah,
tree. Yep. He's like eating. He's like, I can't even fucking eat. I can see that fucking thumb on that plant right next to me. So he's like, does that really have to be out here? And so it starts like a lot of controversy between them, and then they flash forward to today, and so we assume we're starting to learn more about their relationships, because Tree and Jedediah don't talk. The mayor and Jedediah hate each other,
yep.
For whatever reason, but they have to work together. It seems like they have an agreement.
And Zeke is trying to get a hold of his dad.
Zeke's infected.
And you know, Zeke's infected, and Jed, the dad, doesn't know that yet. Then we go to the present day, and Jedediah is on his way to. Oh crud! What's the old lady's name? He's going to a not a fortune teller, a spiritual seer. She can see future. She can see past. She can see all these things, and he goes to her, and he's already gone to her prior. When he was younger, to ask what his life will entail. And she tells him, well, you're going to do great things for all humankind. And so, obviously, this is not the amazing thing he thinks it is meant to be, because obviously everyone's infected. She's infected. Mm-hmm. And this infection, it's getting a little strong. These people who are sitting in, the other people have come to her looking for guidance, and they're a little green in the eyes. They're looking a little evil almost. Obviously they know that he is the master, because every time Jedediah would tell the seed, go to work or whatever the magic words are that he says to him, I can't remember what they are, but obviously the seeds know who he is.
Right.
Anyway, so we get the backstory of what, the Jedediah family, what is their last name?
Jenkins
family, Lafayette family, and Morris family. The three big names for Freetown, and ironically enough, this was a really gritty midsection.
Yeah,
like they touched on how hard life is in the South, how hard life was in the South during this time period, and we find out that Jenkins' great-great-grandfather had been killed by the townspeople because he was the heart and soul of this. He was telling people, oh, we're going to make this city so good, this town so good. Well, they killed him. Yep. Hung him on a tree, and his blood dripped into the earth and pretty much spread blood upon his whole family lineage.
Jedediah is like, he's very like, he's like, hey, my works, they're going to mean something, right? Like in a positive way. And she's like, well, your works will, but you're the evil one. So you're the one that's going to screw the pooch on all of this. He's like, well, fuck. As she's dying from an infection from his seed. And then we get Zeke basically corner his dad at the end of the issue. And Jedediah sees him for the first time. And he's like, no, not you. It's like, well, here you go, dad. Like, this is what you did. You fucking meddled too much, and now I'm dying. So, thanks.
So, the other thing that one little side story or story B would be Tiberius, who was the son to Lafayette, a father that we met earlier in the earlier in this issue.
First part, yeah.
A friend of Jed. Well, the dad asks Jed to give the son Tiberius a job. He gives him the waste management job. I mean, you know, obviously one of the lower end of the facility. Well, Jed's kind of a jackass.
Mm-hmm.
Tiberius is driving him around and actually saved him from being killed by the older lady with the flowers. But Jed still talks to him like he's a piece of shit. Says, if I want your opinion, I'll ask for it. Slams the door, and Tiberius is pissed. Goes to see good old Mayor Thorn. Says, hey, I think we've got a common thought and process. Let's team up.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it came in strong, yes. Gave us some history, and gave us something to deal with in the present. I give it a 10. I mean, I went into it like, I love this book, and then I read through that, and I'm like, God, I know I love this book. So
yep, I'd give this a 10. I really did enjoy this. It made me sad that I have to wait until like December 12th to get the next issue.
But at least you know it's coming.
But I know it's coming. I tell you what.
At least schedule on the back.
Their schedule is so fantastic, or his schedule is so fantastic, mm-hmm. that there's 5 books coming out. These are the dates that are coming out. They're coming.
And he said in the letters column, it's going to be 30 issues total. That's it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow, we're almost pretty halfway done with this
book. I know.
Book.
It's going to be sad, but we'll have another couple of years yet. 2 years, probably. So.
That's good. I liked it.
Farmhand number
11.
Batman number 83, The Question, The Deaths of Vic Sage, book 1. And Captain America throws that mighty shield number 16. This comic set came out last week, and we reviewed more. This week's going to be hard to narrow down that list next week. You know what? Maybe we do more than usual when we cut out that feature. Who knows? Stick around to figure it out. But I'll waste this feature. Just wanted to. I had a question for you guys based on the question. Not really. I just said, hey, I'm just calling it the question. I was thinking about something. And there's usually this type of question that you get asked. Sometimes it's an icebreaker. But I'm going to put a new twist on this thing. So, you get stuck on a desert island. And I'm going to give you 4 things. One, somebody's always, like, not one, but here's what happens. There's a plane that goes over once a month and drops a care package. In this care package, you get 4 things. And I want to know what your 4 things are. One is a comic book series. They'll make sure to go to the comic book shop for you and pop that in there so you can still get 1 comic book a month. They know you're on that island. You're held a prisoner, basically. 1 food. 1 drink. They also give you water, so water's already defaulted. Okay. To give you some, because you can use that for multiple things, more than just drinking. And the very least, 1 tool. So, Alex, what will be your 4 things?
Okay, so the food, obvious, a Hawaiian
dark
pizza.
Dark meat turkey.
Turkey heart. Turkey heart. Just one heart. Just want the one. It'd be Hawaiian pizza. My drink. It would probably be a Diet Coke. I was thinking a Monster. I was thinking a beer.
You want no alcohol.
If I'm on an island, I need to conserve energy and not...
You get unlimited water.
Fish are crunked. And am I getting a six-pack or am I getting like a keg?
You get a drink.
A drink. Oh, if I'm getting a drink, it'd be a gin and tonic. But no, I'm going to do a Diet Coke. Got to wash down that pizza. My books.
You get 30 of them. One for each day.
You get 30 beers?
With 30... pieces of food. It's 1 meal a day, oh. 1 drink a day.
Oh, wow, that's way better than I thought. I thought it was 1 day of the month we're eating.
The tool is 1 tool and then 1 comic. It's how you're surviving. I'm not saying you're going to get 1 thing. They're taking care of you. They don't want you to die on this island, but they're not going to let you leave.
So regardless, I'm getting Diet Cokes. I'm having Hawaiian pizza. The book was a hard one because I was in the Saga. And then I thought, shit, that book's been on hiatus now for over a year.
That wouldn't be in their packaging door. Now it's like, where is this? You said one comic book, and then finally puts a note in it. It's not coming out right now.
Gonna use that tool to take care of. I know if I'm gonna go with what I currently get now, and the one book that always needs to be on the top of that stack would be Middle West. So as long as Middle West was going to be continuing to be at least a ongoing book, I understand like a hiatus once 1 month out of the year or 2 months out of the year, whatever it would be. And of course, my tool would be a hatchet. That bad boy I can hunt with, I can throw it, and try my damnedest to be Kratos to get it to come back, but it won't happen. I could cut down trees as needed, could hunt with it. The only problem would be I'm way more useful with a knife, but I could figure out how to make a hatchet worth it.
Garrett?
For my drink, it would be beer, and it would be a Dogfish Head and Namaste Belgian White, because that's my favorite beer.
This guy's not going to get you that. He's going to the corner store.
He doesn't have a fucking choice. He gave me the parameters, and I'm filling them. So he's getting me that beer, 30 of them.
Where does he go to find something like that?
A six pack's $12 in Zet Hy-Vee. So
Jesus.
Thanks for paying up for that. For food, Chislik. I mean, it's cubed beef, deer. You can pick one of those two. For a weapon, I'd go with like a Bowie knife, like Rambo. Like,
I didn't say a weapon. I said a tool.
That is a tool. It's a knife.
Yeah, but I mean, don't just narrow it down to weapons. You can use whatever you want tool.
I want a bazooka.
No. If I get a weapon, nah.
What do you do, bazooka? You can have one.
I'd still take the Bowie knife, for sure. Because I could attach it to a piece of wood and stab fish with it.
Is that one of the small knives?
It's no, one of those big honking suckers.
It's one of the things that's like a...
Like Crocodile Dundee?
No, like John Rambo.
So like Crocodile Dundee.
Okay. What was the last part?
Drink.
Your book. No, I said drink.
Book.
Food was Chislik. Oh, what comic book? And it's got a currently on go. I would say
I don't think it's necessarily be ongoing.
Get a new issue each month, right?
Hopefully.
I would say Ascender.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, well,
I thought you'd be putting Farmhand on there.
I would, but it's only got it's only got 20 some issues left. How long am I on this island? Okay, it would be Farmhand. I'll switch it to Farmhand. And when I got to issue 30, I would just read the issues I had over and over again. And when I got like 1 through 15, I'd be like, well. That's on the mainland, so. But Fireman, for sure. What about you, Marvin? What would you do for your four?
Here's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. First, the drink, whiskey. Okay, use it to clean out wounds.
Whiskey on the rocks, that's it.
I can drink it. The tool, duct tape.
You get
tape.
A bottle of whiskey each day?
Yeah, 30 bottles.
Jesus Christ.
You're going to be dead.
Be a little dehydrated.
A little duct tape. That's what I'm going to have. Okay. Make myself a house. The water comes right off that fucker. So, and if I need it, I can also make a boat. I can also make a weapon out of that shit. Put a rock on a stick and
make a boat.
You guys are laughing, but I'm gonna make everything out of this fucking duct tape.
I agree.
How many rolls of duct tape do you get a month?
Well, we negotiate. He's gonna give me 20 at least. 20
I agree. Duct tape is actually a spectacular choice. I'm just stating that. Just to build a house, I'm just like, when are you building a house?
Out of duct tape. You get a couple of trees together. You duct tape them together. I can make a hammock.
What are you going to cut them down with?
I don't cut anything duct down, tape bro. Hanks. I tape it down.
Yeah, he'll take the end of a piece of duct tape and just slowly slide it across.
You take four trees that are close to each other. You duct tape around them until you got a nice cylinder base, and then you go.
So you're making a wall out of it.
Yeah. What are you shushing with?
Put a little bamboo on top or something like that.
Well, how are you cutting the bamboo?
They fall off the trees.
How are they falling off the trees?
Well, that's when I got my stick and my rock I told you about, and I hit this up with.
Oh, so you're turning a rock into a knife, which is another tool.
Yeah, so I'm saying duct tape leads to other tools. Also, if there's
I'm laughing too hard, I can throw up.
If there's any ducks over there,
it's ducks.
I can make.
Say, imagine we were on an island.
You said desert island.
Are deserted.
Ducks? Oh, deserted island.
No, not ducks. Ducks.
D-U-C-T.
Like, oh, ducks. D-U-C-T-S.
If there's any, then
D-U-C-K.
I can make sure those things aren't damaged. I put tight tape.
Okay, I heard. If there's ducks here,
if there is ducks also.
Them, what are you doing with them?
Oh, dude, if I get like two ducks together and I tape them together. And then
ducks
I can,
or
then
ducks?
I, then I can hold on to them and fly off the island.
Like, oh, okay. So this is actual D-U-C-K-S. Ducks. Okay.
How many ducks do you think you need to lift you?
More than two.
Yeah, 8 to 10.
What about two for each hand?
No. That'll be like that fucking camel with those two people riding him. You guys ever seen that video where the two people are trying to ride that camel and they're so fat that he like can't even lift his hump? Awesome.
So I liked your idea of the Chislik. That's a good way you're going down there. This guy with the pizza, I don't know, that thing's going to fucking spoil in 2 days.
Have you seen me eat pizza?
But like the thing with meat is like you never get bored with meat.
I was going to go bacon. I think it's fatty enough, it keeps you going.
But you might.
So when you,
the only problem with that is
you're
like
you're going to drink whiskey and have bacon.
You eat a couple pieces of bacon, but you could never like be like, okay, I'm going to stop now. You're going to be like, no, I want more bacon. That would kill you.
Bro, I'm going to stop. I got 30 days worth.
You got to eat it.
And I can cook it. Well, I get, once again, this duct tape. And I make put a piece of rock on top. I make it so that I can put a rock on top of it. And then the heat, the rock, cooks it. How are you going to cook that pizza?
I thought it was already cooked. The way I understood this pizza was already cooked.
You're going to eat a pizza 30 days after it was cooked.
I'll make an oven with my hatchet.
All right. You guys got to see this shit. You're going to die. So this guy's going to like try and get this camel. Sorry, we'll post the video on the
yeah,
Facebook
tweet about
page.
This.
You can fucking find it. But
is this a duck?
This is a camel.
Yeah.
And so
okay, we see a camel, two people on
right,
top of the
they're
going to
have two couples ride a camel, okay? And now look at this. The camel, get up. The camel's like, Jesus, I can't even stand up here. And the guy can't even get him up.
I swear, guys, you get like
look at that guy.
You get like four ducks together, and I'll be able to fly in that shit.
My poor camel.
Oh, man.
In the book, criminal. Criminal, bacon, whiskey, duct tape.
Wow.
Nice.
That is four choices of a man who's going
to
survive.
So I want people to now go on Twitter and tell us which of the three of us is going to live.
Dude, bacon to grease. I can keep the grease and start fires.
There's a lot of fat there. You might get a heart attack.
No.
The whiskey that he's washing it down with.
I know, true. That's just
if you ate bacon
you.
Every day and that's all you ate, but also you were exercising every day, wouldn't that
you
keep
would
you
just
going?
Feel sick.
No, you would keep going.
That's so much fat.
Bro, you need it on that island.
You need some fat, but you don't need like. I'm letting you know, bacon's like almost more fat than it is meat.
What are you gonna? Are you gonna fish? Because I was gonna say I'd just be making fish.
Oh,
ooh,
you get some
bacon wrapped fish. That's not.
What
bad.
Are you gonna do? Fucking Hawaiian pizza? You can put a little fish on it.
But
at least this guy can mix it up a little mix. With
after
the,
a while, I just eat the fish. If I need, hey, thanks for all the pizza.
What are you
gonna
kill the
it.
Fish with? A hatchet,
some coconut and Chislik.
Have you? Did you want to watch me?
You there's no
one,
way with a hatchet.
One,
you'll kill.
All I would do.
This guy's better with his
cut
knife.
Cut myself a little bit.
Spear.
Get the blend. The
what
shark
do you think they use
up?
Spears for, dude? They don't use hatchets. They use spears because you need to cut through the water.
Cover the guy who's using duct tape. Duct tape.
Guess what?
Ducks to
I'm gonna make a duct tape gun. And I'm gonna shoot him under the water. One of those spear guns.
He's gonna take a fish and to kill it, he's gonna wrap duct tape around its gills so that it
you.
Suffocates.
No, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm take two rocks, duct tape around the rocks, stick it under there, and he'll try to get through and he'll get stuck.
Oh my God.
Then there's my fish. I'll make a little net. I can make a net out of this shit.
There you go. Good. You see? Good making it out of duct tape.
You underestimate the DT. Duct tape.
I know what the DT was.
What's your favorite brand of duct tape?
Just duct tape.
I like that gold. One with the duck on it. What's that called?
Duct tape.
I think the company owns all duct tape.
I think
tape
also
uses.
The Gorilla tape. There's Gorilla tape too, right?
Yeah.
Gorilla tape. I know Scotch makes a duct tape.
I will ask the guy as a favor to me, since I gave him a job of kidnapping us all, if he killed me, try a different kind of duct tape so I can get the perfect one.
Mm. You know what I find ironic is most of the time when we do these, most apparently we got sold over to somebody else to send us somewhere. I usually either get stand by the Joker repeatedly.
Yeah. Well.
Or put on some stupid island. That guess what? I'm guessing we're like all a mile apart from each other that we all could have just
well,
teamed
let me
up
ask
together.
You a question. You and Garrett get stuck on an island together, and we'll do every other. So you're going to have, what was your book?
Middle West.
Middle West, and you're going to have Chislik, and you're going to have Diet Coke, and you're going to have a Bowie knife, but only enough for one person. Who kills who first?
I would let you just be alone, and I'd just throw you, like, I'd get, like, probably a dozen,
you know, this
Chislik.
This Alex guy
I'll give
here.
You a piece.
You know, within 10 days, he becomes a wild man. And yeah. he's part of the wild now.
That's true.
He loses all human likeness.
I'll be sitting by the
so
fire.
I just walk over to Garrett. Take these. I don't need them.
You'll be in front of the fire. And
yeah.
He
I'll be eating
chisels.
He'll be like, rawr!
He sleeps
Alex,
in the
calm
jungle.
The fuck down, man.
You see him on a huge rock?
Get it. Get it.
I'll be like, what the?
Alex, stop it. You fuck.
Why do you sleep at daytime? Go to bed, you fuck.
Just him and a couple of ducks up there. That's the group he joined. Mm. There's wolves and stuff in there also. But
and then I'll hear a little pops of the Diet Coke can.
Middle of the night.
Alex, go the fuck to bed.
And then he just hear me in the pizza.
Yeah, like he's like a squirrel.
Oh, no, it's Chislik. You're right. Yeah. Well, he's a Diet Coke.
He gets one piece of Chislik. I mean, it's not my fault you forgot your pizza.
You want to bring Mentos? Fresh maker.
With my Diet Coke. Start making explosives.
Yeah, I was going to say, you make some explosives. Blow a hole in the side of a canyon. A rock.
Let's get some fish.
And just get off some rocks off the water.
WednesdayComics605@gmail.com. Let me know what your four things you would bring. At Wednesday Comics, let us know which one's the better one. I'm going to make a poll. What would you bring to an island? Chislik, Hawaiian pizza, or bacon? At Alex Mastrello, follow him there. At Karat2188, he'll post that video. At Marvin_Saguaro. Facebook.com/Wednesday Comics Podcast. You can also find our sponsor on Facebook at Facebook.com/RootsOfTheSwampThing. RootsOfTheSwampThing.com, your definitive source for all things Swamp Thing. Holland Files number 4 for available pre-order. Follow them also on Twitter at DCWorldSwampy. We have a YouTube page. You know what, actually, though? Follow us on Twitter for the Gauntlet. It's now live every Sunday night, and you can watch that there. I will I send it out, let you know. Usually I put a hashtag that makes no sense. 1 week it was released the Snyder Cut, and this latest one was Baby Yoda. So I know he's not actually Baby Yoda, but I didn't have the time to look up what race this guy is. So we have a book club.
Wednesday Comics League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents
Green Lantern, The Sinestral War, Book 1, Volume 1, whatever you want to call it. Jeff Johns, Dave Gibbons, Evan Van Scriver, Ivan Rice. It's a good book. It's the first book of the Sinestral War. We're going to be reading that. I have both of them over here, Book 1 and 2, because my son took out 2 for some reason. Like, he knew it was over there. He knew we put them together. I don't know why. Okay. Make sure to subscribe to the show. Anchor.fm, your place to subscribe to the show, or on Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, Overcast, podcastprovider.com. I don't even know if that's real. Don't go there. You don't go to websites you don't know about. That's something I learned as a young kid. When I grew up, I was 1 year old. I tried to log in the internet. And back then, it was mostly U.S. military only. And I went to bomb.com. So you know what? I figured it's bomb.com. So I go there.
And then the FBI shows up at your house and they're like, hey.
No, it turned out it was the nuclear codes. Uh-huh. And I had them in my hands.
Just on bomb.com.
And it said press 1 to launch. Luckily, as a kid, I knew it was up. Called the government, said, hey, you locked down the website. They gave me an honorary Medal of Honor. And I said, thank you for your service. So you're lucky. You're lucky.
I feel like you'd be more popular and more famous if that were the case.
They kept them to wraps. It's Area 51. He's a secret hero. The JFK assassination, and then this, bomb.com.
With classified information, now it's out in the open.
Well, it's been, what, 20, 30 years? 20 years. I'm 33. you know what I watched recently? Oh, recently. Today?
What?
First Kid.
First Kid's pretty great. Blank Check is also a good one.
First Kid. That kid is an asshole.
He is an asshole. He's got a snake.
He doesn't have any redeeming qualities. He just yells at everybody. He throws a shoe at one point because he's throwing a fit. And at the end, the guy tries to shoot him, and I said, do it.
He doesn't like gingers either. That guy with the mustache can't catch a break. Yeah, he's just like, dude, I'm just trying to protect you. He's like, this man's touching me.
He cries a lot, too.
He does.
About everything. Yeah. Like, they won't let him go to the
birthday party.
It was before that.
Oh.
They wouldn't let him go to... He does cry at the birthday party. I'm not saying that you're wrong.
It's the mall.
Yeah, somewhere. He doesn't let him go somewhere before he takes him out, and he cries.
Who's his... Sinbad. Sinbad's his bodyguard.
There's two people in this world called Sinbad, Alex. Him and the guy who has the Seven Wonders of the World, Voyage. He does a little trek.
I knew that Sinbad, and I know that Sinbad, so I think I was
okay. Anyways, in this First Kid, I learned he also was chatting with somebody on the internet he did not know, Stranger Danger on the internet. That's back in the day.
Right. And it was the dude that used to be his bodyguard in the beginning of the movie.
Not anymore, though. Now everybody puts their full name out there. Back then, you had a screen name. And back in 1986, when I was born, came out of the womb, bomb.com, I had a screen name too.
Hey, totally unrelated. I did see Kazam with, what's his face is on there? Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
So,
where is
Disney
that at?
Plus.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, Kazam.
Well, Kazam's next on my list.
I am Kazam.
Anyways, out of this womb, went to bomb.com, and I had a screen name. At the time, you needed one. Guess what mine was?
I don't even want to know.
Guess?
at press one if bomb.
No, I'm a child. I'm a child, so I have childish nick. Back then, I had childish username. Obviously, I don't do that anymore. It was suck a duck number one. And I said, give me these codes. Now I'm laying this out. Back then, they thought I came on this website and it was all an accident. I reported it right away. No, I was going to launch.
At suck a duck one.
Suck a duck one was going to launch the nukes. You know why? They wanted me to go to sleep. I got to stay up late. So.
Is it a duck or is it a duct?
D-U-C-T. Yeah, suck duct tape. Number one.
D-U-C-T, just a duct.
Yeah.
For that good air.
For Wednesday Comics, I've been Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone.
You sucking those ducks?